Please be turning in your Bible this morning to the book of John. We will be reading the scripture selected by Brother Smalley for the lesson this morning, the book of John, chapter 12, verse 26. John 12, 26 reads, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him."
Thank you, brother, for that reading from the Gospel of John. Thank you for following along in your Bible at this significant verse describing what it is really to be a Christian. Children sometimes in our families are often asked by their parents what they would like to be when they grow up. I remember several times asking my children that question. Sheila asked them that question several different times through their all the way through their childhood, just to gauge what their interests were, but also to see that we could do everything possible that we could to encourage them to have an interest in doing something and to provide in any way that we possibly could opportunities for them to do what they wanted to do, to receive the proper education, the proper training, and to help guide them in those ways. But what if God asked His children, "What do you want to be when you grow up spiritually? What do you want to be when you mature spiritually?" How would we answer that question? And what would we suppose that God would want us to be? Sometimes we might answer that question in view of a spiritual context with the work of the local church in mind, and we might say, "I want to be a deacon one day. I want to be an elder in God's kingdom one day. I want to do everything that I can do to serve God in an acceptable way. And when the elders ask me to do something, I'm never going to say no. I'm going to try to do everything that I possibly can. And I'm going to let others help me to improve myself so that I can be a good servant in the kingdom of God." Our minds sometimes would naturally go to those important roles in the local church, for sure. But Jesus taught us that the greatest thing that we could possibly be in the kingdom of God is a servant. In Matthew 23 and verse 11, Jesus clearly said, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." In Mark 9 and verse 35, He called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." When I read that phrase, "servant of all," I immediately think of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? His life was filled with service for everyone. He died the death on the cross as a service for everyone. He was raised from the dead as a service for everyone. How great it would be if one day we could hear the Lord call us a good and faithful servant. What a great blessing that would be. If you recall from our study of Acts, or our study of some of the letters written by Paul, most recently particularly during Paul's second missionary journey, when Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke came to the city of Philippi and preached the gospel there and made converts there and established the church there, there was a slave girl having a spirit of divination who met them on a regular basis. The record tells us that she was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling, and they followed after Paul and us, the record says. She kept crying out, saying, even though this young girl had a spirit of divination, what she said was absolutely true. And here's what she cried out all of the time: "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." I think that's something good to reflect upon and think about. They were identified as bond servants of the Most High God. Have you ever thought about that? That recognition that they received on that occasion? They were identified that way because they were serving Jesus Christ. And if you and I are serving Jesus Christ today, I think it can be rightly said of us that we are bond servants of the Most High God. Don't you? I wonder if it's ever dawned on you how very important that description is. What a unique meaning that it has in the pages of God's book, that God could give to you no higher honor than to call you a servant of His. That others could give you no higher honor than to call you a servant of the Most High God. Sadly, I think that a lot of people have the idea that when they talk about serving the Lord or being a servant in the kingdom of the Lord, that somehow that means taking a step downward. Well, in our hearts, serving is a step downward, but in the teaching of Jesus Christ, serving is a step upward. The world's view is that serving is taking a step aside and downward with less honor about it, but not in the kingdom of God. There is a unique role for servants of God described in the pages of Scripture, and the primary role of a servant is to follow his master. In John 12 and verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. That's pretty clear from what Jesus said. A good servant of his respects his authority, honors his leadership, obeys his will. He seeks to be faithful. He seeks to be useful for his master. Disciples of Christ are servants of Christ, submitting to his authority always, obeying his will always. Luke recorded that Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" Jesus taught that a disciple's role as a servant is really more inclusive than that of any other type of servant. Not only are we to serve Christ, our Master, our Lord, but we're also to serve one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is unique, isn't it? In Matthew 20, 20 through 23, the mother of James and John came before Jesus, seeking places of prominence for her two sons in the Lord's kingdom, which he was about to establish on this earth. And after telling them that such a position was not his to give, that it belonged to the Father, the Lord had to deal with the negative effects of their request upon the other disciples. In Matthew 20 and verse 24, we're told the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. And the Lord had to deal with that. These men were often arguing about which one of them would be the greatest in the Lord's kingdom. And they resented James and John for taking this particular action and putting their mother up to it, if that's in fact what they did. But Jesus took advantage of this opportunity to teach about true greatness in his kingdom. And in Matthew's gospel, in chapter 20, beginning in verse 25, this is what the Bible says. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." In the kingdoms of men, greatness is shown by the ability to exercise authority over other people, isn't it? Jesus said, "It's not going to be that way in my kingdom." In his kingdom, things would be different. Greatness would be demonstrated by a willingness to take upon oneself the role of a servant, the role of a slave, even serving other disciples. Why should a disciple be a servant? Being a servant is going to challenge the way most people think. Why not just let the way people think guide the way things are in the kingdom? Why do we have to change the way we think? Many of us really have a problem battling our pride. A lot of people have a problem battling pride. And that pride that we have seeks to elevate ourselves over other people, and so the concept of serving them becomes somewhat foreign to us. Although we're conditioned by our world to be self-centered and self-serving, we should be conditioned by the Lord as His followers to be servants of others. The Lord's call to servitude contradicts everything that the world says that we should be. We should be looking out for number one. We should be putting number one first. We need to look out for our own interests, because after all, if we don't, who will? This is the world's philosophy. But this isn't the way it is in the kingdom. We should be interested in taking on the role of a servant, because we've read about the life of Jesus Christ, and we know who He is in His Word, and we love Him for what He did. Greatness in the kingdom is why we should be a servant. It's not this way among you, Jesus said, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. That's what Mark says in his gospel, and it's parallel to Matthew's gospel in chapter 20 of Matthew. The Lord says the servant has the highest ranking position in the kingdom. That's different from the way that the world thinks about things, isn't it? This is not because the servant is striving to achieve greatness. It's because he is interested in putting others before himself, just like his master did by his life. The world may not think much of servants, but the Lord Himself said, there's not anyone greater than this, my servant. Following Christ's example is another good reason why a disciple should be a servant of His. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. In Mark 10:45, and also Matthew's parallel in Matthew 20 and verse 28. Jesus didn't come into this world to be served. As the very creator of this world, according to Colossians 1 and verse 16, He has every right to exercise authority over His creation, doesn't He? And He could have very well said, servitude is not necessary. I wish all of you to be masters and rulers over people. But He didn't say that. And He didn't teach that. He didn't give us that example. In exercising His authority over His world, He is in expectation of those who would serve Him to also serve others. Instead of demanding these rights, Jesus came into this world as a servant, leaving the glories of heaven. He could have grasped the glory of heaven and said, I'll never leave it. But He didn't. As a servant, with the attitude of a servant, He gave up the glories of heaven and came to this low life on this earth to show us the way to be a servant and to raise the question, is anyone interested in following me and being blessed by God as a result? On the very night He was betrayed in the confines of the upper room, Jesus got up from the table and laid aside His garments, girded Himself with a towel, and went around the room washing the feet of His disciples. You can read about that in Gospel of John chapter 13, verses 3 through 17. This was a task that was customarily performed by a servant of the family or a servant of the property, a lowest house servant that there could be. After He washed their feet, Jesus told them in John 13 and verse 15, listen carefully, for I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Jesus was not instituting foot washing as a church ordinance here. He was responding to their argument over who is going to be the greatest. And he had told them before by his very words who would be the greatest. It would be the one who serves. But the question of greatness seems to come up again. On the night that he instituted the Lord's Supper, they were once again disputing among themselves which one would be the greatest in Luke 22 and verse 24. And maybe this is what prompted the Lord to give them an example, not only words, but an example that they could look to that would teach them the importance of humility and service. Luke 22 and verse 27 says, "For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." Furthermore, the disciple strives to be like his master. In Luke 6 and verse 40, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Doesn't that describe the Christian? In our spiritual growth, we want to be fully trained. And for what purpose? That purpose is to be just exactly like our teacher. Just exactly like our master. In every respect, not only servitude. We are like Christ when we are giving ourselves in service to others. And that pleases our Heavenly Father. Matthew 10 and verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. How are we to be a good servant? It's not just enough to be a servant. But in serving Christ, we want to do our very best. We want God to be pleased. What does it take to be a good servant? Well, in the first place, it takes having the proper attitude. The attitude where we accept the role of a servant because that's exactly what our Lord was. We accept that role and we have to look into our own hearts and see truly if we're willing to accept that. And are we willing to pursue the quest of bringing this good man out of the good treasure of a good heart? We want to see to it that our heart is good. We want to have the good attitudes. And are we willing to accept this quest of loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength? And also loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's in Matthew 22, 36 through 39. Are we wanting to be servants who serve with meekness, showing kindness and gentleness toward others? Serving in humility. The people of the world may arrogantly exert their authority over others, but Jesus wants us to act differently, to the point that we can serve at our brother's feet, looking to them because we love them as objects of our service, not as opportunities to be served. It's important for us to have the right attitude. And secondly, awareness. We need to be alert and diligent. Well, what do we need to be alert about? If we're going to be servants in the kingdom, the first thing that we need to give attention to is an analysis of ourselves. Do we have any talents that we can use in the kingdom? Is there something about me? Is there some ability that I have or some skill that I have that will allow me to help a brother or sister in Christ? It's pretty much that simple. If I can help any brother or any sister in the least little bit, I'm a servant of Christ. If I can help in any way. So we have to be aware of our own talents. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, Paul wrote in Romans 12 and verse 6 beginning, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving. He who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, one who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Note, we do have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. We are to exercise them accordingly. We need to analyze our own skills and our own talents. Use them in the kingdom. We all have unique talents and abilities and opportunities. And they're not all the same between each one of us. We need to know where our talents lie and make the best use of our opportunities to serve others in the kingdom. Also, we must be aware of our task. What is it that we are to do with our abilities, with our talents? What work do we have to do? Good servants in the kingdom do not need to be reminded that there is a job to be done. We know there's a job to be done. We need to know what our task is and be ready to serve. Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. And the only way we know what those good works are is to look in God's book and to see. What are the good works that we're to be doing? Titus 3, verse 8. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These are good and profitable for all men. And he goes on to say in verse 14, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. We must also be aware of the needs of others. Jesus saw and responded to the needs of others. We need to follow his example. A servant does not think of himself in these situations. We must see the needs of others and consider them to be important enough that if there's any way that we can help take care of a need or satisfy someone in this unique way, that we'll be willing to do that. Because after all, Philippians 2, Paul wrote and said, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. So it is important that we have an awareness about us in these matters, as well as a proper attitude. And then thirdly, to take action. The word serve is a verb. It is an action word. Good intentions and kind words don't make us servants. In James chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, James wrote and said, if there's a brother or sister without clothing in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? And that's a pretty significant point, isn't it? First John 3 and verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. That tells us there's action there for the servant of God, doesn't it? Serving makes us a servant. As we have opportunity, we're to do good unto all men, according to Galatians 6 and verse 10, and especially those of the household of faith, especially those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Exactly how can we serve our brethren? There are times when we can be servants to their physical needs. Jesus said that we serve him when we feed, when we house, when we clothe, when we visit brethren who are in need, in Matthew 25. Verses 35 through 40. Pure and undefiled religion involves helping those who are in need. In James 1 and verse 27, we are to share in the things that we have with those who are in need. In Ephesians 4 and verse 28. So physical needs are a way that we can provide service for others. Also, emotional needs. We need to weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice, in Romans 12 and verse 15. We need to bear one another's burdens and Galatians 6 and verse 2. We need to encourage the faint-hearted and help the weak in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. And strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble in Hebrews 12 and verse 12. There are emotional needs that people have. And we can serve. We can serve in the kingdom of God to make it better according to the word of Jesus Christ. Also, people have spiritual needs. Babes in Christ need to be established in the faith in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Those who are struggling need to be exhorted in Hebrews 3 verses 12 and 13. Those who are unruly need to be warned in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Those who are backsliding need to be restored in Galatians 6 and verse 1. Those who are unfaithful need to be rescued in James 5, 19 and 20. So in all of these different areas, there are great services that we can perform in the kingdom of God and bring glory to God by so doing. We have to take action. We have to have the right attitude. That's very important for us to be a good servant. Also, there's the area of availability. Serving other people just flat out requires time. My time. My time out of my busy schedule. That's what it takes. Unfortunately, in our modern world, time seems to be one thing that we're unable to give to others. However, the reality is that we make time to do the things that we really want to do. And we leave off the things that we really don't want to do. Jesus understood the importance of taking time to serve others. Jesus said in John 9 and verse 4 that we must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. Serving others requires our personal involvement, as we notice from 1 John 3 and verse 18, not to love in word or with the tongue, but in deed and truth. That's personal involvement, isn't it? Jesus was found among people in their streets, in their homes, in their synagogues, in the marketplaces, everywhere He could find people. And He was there to help. He responded to pleas for help. He took people aside to aid them. He took people into His confidence to comfort them. We must respond personally to the needs of our brethren if we are going to claim to be their servant. And of course, serving requires sacrifice. Unlike the priest and the Levite, the Samaritan made himself available because he sacrificed his time and his attention and his money to help someone who needed to be helped in Luke 10, 30 through 37. He sacrificed. He risked his own personal safety to help someone. His time, his property, the comfort of riding on his own animal, and his money to meet this man's needs. There may be times in our lives when you and I are called upon to make similar sacrifices. And we need to have already decided in our hearts and already made up our minds that we are open to such opportunities to help other people who need help. These are a few of the areas that we can think about from the teaching of the New Testament to help us appreciate what it really is to be called a servant of our King. My servant, as in our text. You'll notice in our text in John 12 and verse 26, when Jesus said, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. We talked about that. And where I am, there my servant will be also. We want to be with our Lord. We want to be with our King. Wherever He is, we know it's good, and that's where we want to be. But also that verse says, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Who will the Father honor? Anyone who serves Christ, according to the Word of God. Do you want to be a servant? of God. Do you want to be a servant of Christ today? Do you want to be a better servant of Christ today? Jesus Christ is the greatest man the world has ever known. Out of all of the people who have ever lived. But he wasn't a political leader. He wasn't a military general. He was not the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. He wasn't a champion athlete, a trend-setting celebrity. He wasn't an adored performer. He wasn't a successful lawyer or a life-saving doctor. He was not one of the many things to which this shallow world attributes greatness. He was a servant, a humble servant, who served others, but yet, by doing so, he gained a name which is above every name, the Bible says, in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Jesus calls disciples to serve him. A disciple is like his master, and our master was a servant. The greatest thing we can ever hope to become in this world is a servant of Jesus Christ. Think about that. How significant and important that is. We serve Christ when we serve one another. Thank you so much for listening today to our lesson. Thank you for following along in your Bible. Please study the scriptures that I mentioned to you this morning. They'll be very beneficial to you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're in our assembly and you've come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and yet you have not made public confession of that, you've not confessed the great confession before people, you've not been baptized into Christ, you've not been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, raised to walk in newness of life as the Bible teaches, we can fix that today. If you will repent of sins, if you'll change your life, the direction that you're going, the way that you're thinking, the things that you're doing, if you'll change all of that and dedicate yourself to be a servant of Christ, confess him before this multitude. Let me lower you in the watery grave of baptism, the pool of water that's behind me here. As I lift you up out of that pool of water, you will have every sin that you've ever committed removed from the remembrance of God against you. You'll be clean. You'll be washed. You'll be perfect. You'll be a child of God. We can help you with that today, right now. And if that's your desire, please make it known by coming to the front and talking to me about it. While together we stand and encourage you by singing the invitation song number 268.